A new movie in theaters now titled Green Book tells the true life story of world-class African-American pianist Dr. Don Shirley. The movie's title refers to a travel guide that provided lists of restaurants, motels, and gas stations that were friendly to black travelers in the South during segregation. A new exhibit at the Idaho Black History Museum in Boise is showcasing a Green Book, among other artifacts. Joining me live in studio to talk more about this is Philip Thompson. He is the executive director of the museum. Welcome to the program.
Thank you for having me.
So tell me about the new exhibit. You have the Green Book, but you also have other artifacts from even from the Ku Klux Klan.
Correct. Marty Peterson from the University of Idaho was cleaning out of one of his homes that he had acquired, and he went to the attic and found a clown robe, two of them. And that was locally here in Idaho, and he felt that one of the best places to display it would be at the museum. And it was perfect timing because it coincided with what we were trying to do as far as this new exhibit is called Law, a Tool of Social Engineering, and has the Supreme Court cases that kind of defined the social fabric of what America is now, from separate but equal, Dred Scott decision, internment of Japanese, et cetera. And the Klan robe, plus we also had a Klan knife donated about a year ago that was also local. And then the Green Book kind of are all indicative of the environment that we often forget that it didn't exist so much here in Idaho, although my family had a crossbar in their yard when my mother was a kid.
Right.
That is much more evidence of, hey, a bygone era, but it's still relevant today.
And what's interesting about this is, so with the movie, The Green Book, coming out, I had never heard of this. Now, granted, I grew up in the West Coast. I am white, so I would not have needed something like this. But you were saying you're finding that a lot of people weren't aware of this pamphlet.
Yeah, and I was kind of fascinated. Personally, I'm not claiming to be like privy to any esoteric knowledge, but
right.
I thought it was much more a widely held understanding that if you're black and in the 30s, 40s, 50s, 60s, not just in the South, but nationwide, travel wasn't exactly a safe thing for you to do. Venturing outside of your neighborhood, God forbid your city and your state, that you could be walking into the devil's playground, for lack of a better word. And so this book was a necessary evil to try to seek refuge or a safe place to stay. In the book, there's even addresses here in Boise, Idaho. There was a safe house, for lack of a better word, or they called it a traveler's house.
Okay.
Over near River Street. That was a black neighborhood, the most densely populated black neighborhood in Boise.
That right. It was right on River Street. There's a home that's still there.
Exactly.
Yes.
The Heyman House.
Yes. So what also you there was an article in Boise State University's Blue Review, and I wanted to talk about this as well, because in that you talk about the need for civility. And how important is that, especially in the culture and the climate that we live in today, especially talking about the history, Black Idaho History Museum, when we talk about something like a Green Book about people's safety. And yet we are in this climate where civility sometimes seems to be going out the window.
I think there's a bit of a disconnect that we tend to vilify the other, whatever that other is. If they're on the other end of the political spectrum, we don't ever consider that perspective. And I'm just a pragmatist that that's just, you're not going to arrive at the best answer with less inputs of information. The best thing to do to come to a most positive solution is consider all perspectives, ideas, et cetera. And right now with this bifurcation politically, socially, racially, whatever, you have to take a half step back and agree to not get so incensed or outraged the minute somebody has a different perspective, or maybe their reality has been different from the reality you've seen. It doesn't negate their reality. So we've got to dial it down half a notch and consider that other, whatever we think that other might be.
And we do see that so much. I mean, whether it's, you know, in the media, politics, whether it's in the workplace, it seems like in this day and age, it's very hard to have a conversation, though, with differing views without a person basically saying you're wrong for believing X, Y, and Z. But you bring up this point about if you have different experiences, you might have different ways of looking at things.
And I just, I fail to see that the only time that you want, like if we're going to have an unquestioned belief and destroy any dissent, the only organization that tries to press that ideology is a cult. And that's, in my history, not a positive thing. You have to take a half step back and decide that, hey, this is my reality. This is what I've experienced, but doesn't necessarily negate yours, even if yours is completely opposite. We have to quit giving into this notion of wanting to get likes or cheering or vilifying the other and like, hey, look how I got him with that zinger now. I had him on his heels, because it serves no purpose. We have to take a half step back and look at what is the end result we're trying to get to and then execute backwards from there.
I'm speaking with Philip Thompson. He's the executive director of the Idaho Black History Museum. In this same article in the Blue Review, you are a sixth generation Idahoan.
Yes, ma'am.
And you talk about Idaho, and I love this. You say Idaho is a conundrum wrapped up in a riddle to an outsider.
Absolutely.
Explain this, because it really is true.
Okay, those of us who live here understand how unique Idaho and Boise, more specifically, is. But as a whole, I would say it's indicative of Idaho, the greater Idaho as well. Whenever I travel, people often look at me with like...
Are they shocked that you're from Idaho?
Shock and all that, and I'm Muslim as well.
You're living in Idaho.
Exactly. So I'm Black, I'm Muslim, and it goes against our narrative like, oh, what's it like out there? And I'm like, you know, this is Idaho, not Alabama. We're not entrenched in years of systemic oppression legally administered to keep a given people poor, uneducated, disenfranchised. I'm not saying we're perfect. I'm simply saying that legal framework didn't exist here. Yes, we had problems. As I said previously, my mother had a crossbar in her yard as a kid. But if you look at how we work now, like people often call it Idaho nice. Idahoans, for the most part, just don't want you to bother them. You do you, I do me.
And let's just leave it at that.
Leave it at that. And that's a beautiful thing, and I wish we would get more to that and stick to our roots and not let this national narrative conflate or disturb what we have going on here, because it seems to be more of a live and let live disposition, but we're allowing outsiders, not to vilify those who are not from Idaho, but those who are less familiar with how we do things here, telling us how we need to do things. And I'm not going to claim that how I do things in Boise is indicative of how they need to do things in Moscow either. That's an entirely different, you know, area, entirely different history. But I can at least be respectful of how they want to do things before I dictate how they must do things.
And also, we should point out, and this is where kind of that conundrum comes in. I mean, we are overwhelmingly Caucasian in the state of Idaho, yet
true,
we have one of the largest and most successful refugee resettlement programs in the entire nation.
Absolutely.
And does this go back to that whole idea of the culture of Idaho?
I met with reps from the EU when they were dealing with the inception of the Syrian crisis. They came to like 6 to 8 different states in America to see best practices, worst practices. They came to Boise, Idaho, because we're internationally renowned for our refugee program. And they said, well, hey, why is it so successful? And I used to be president of our mosque. Mm-hmm. And I talked to him. I said, if you ask any Muslim, they'll say the best place to be Muslim is America. And in America, it's Idaho. And part of that reason is, it's not because we're overwhelmingly conservative or overwhelmingly liberal. It's common sense. And this notion of they're fundamentally good people, that's just the Idaho way. They're traditional. They help their neighbor. When they may disagree, we do it politely for the most part.
That's why we let everybody into traffic.
There you go.
I mean, seriously.
That's indicative of how different Idaho is. We let you merge, or we don't honk. We actually obey stop signs. And it's just that Idaho way that we're half step slower, a little more cordial. You may acquiesce when a woman's walking in front of you. You may hold a door for somebody, not because I'm belittling you or I'm saying you're weak, but just because, hey.
It's a nice thing to do.
I'm old school. I'm sorry. I mean, if you're offended by that, my bad. And I think that we're losing that, or losing sight of at least taking credit for how beautiful that is. And we need not defend Idaho, but we've allowed people from outside Idaho determine the narrative. But we need to speak up and tell people how we do things here and be proud of it, to be honest.
And getting back to the Black History Museum, and with your long history here, there's a really special connection to the actual building of where the Idaho History Museum is.
Absolutely. I actually went to that church as a child. I was raised in that church. The church was built by my great-great-grandfather. He came here with his father-in-law in 1905. His grandson was the first Black athlete at Boise State when it was Boise Junior College. He played college football there in 1945 and basketball as well. His daughter, Cherie Buckner Webb, that's my mother. She's the first Black woman elected to the House and then now in the Senate. My daughter is a seventh generation Idahoan, Black Irish Muslim. So she has a very nuanced history, but she loves Idaho. I mean, it's the world's best kept secret. And so it's beautiful that even though she's not been raised in the church or a church, she understands the familial history and the importance mm-hmm. of our heritage as it relates to Idaho, even though her experience has been that of a Muslim.
And also very quickly before we wrap up, an upcoming City Club event.
Oh, absolutely. January 23rd, and the City Club is going to do their first evening discussion at the Idaho Black History Museum at 5:30 or 6, talking about education, taxes, and the economy.
And the exhibit itself is going on right now, so it's open to the public.
People Absolutely.
Can come and see it. I really appreciate you coming in and talking today. My guest today, Philip Thompson, Executive Director of the Idaho Black History Museum. Nice conversation.
Thank you for having me.